So tell me then, in terms of the après-ski scene and the social scene, what was it? We talked about the lodge and the den, but I know I've heard about the home parties that people really
Yes, there were a lot of
entertained.
private parties.
Yeah. So was that, did that, was there an exclusivity to that? I mean, did you have to be inside a certain circle to be invited to these parties, or were they fairly open, or what was the nature
Well,
of the?
naturally, certain groups gravitated to each other, and they were, and those parties, well, you take the Dana Set and the Thompsons, the more traditional people, their parties were quite formal. I mean, you wore a cocktail dress.
Right.
But then the other people would just, after skiing, say, well, let's get together and do this or that or the other thing. One of the most, I don't know why I think of it right now, but that building near Top Notch, which is now the Italian restaurant, it used to be called Bottom Notch. And a lot of ski bum types lived in Bottom Notch.
Who was it owned by? Do you know?
I don't know who owned that.
I've never
Maybe
heard of that.
Tom, I don't know, I shouldn't say. But I can remember this marvelous story I heard about Bottom Notch. Russell and Janet Spring, did you know them?
No.
Well, Russell eventually, he was a ski instructor. He eventually went up to Craftsbury and he bought the Craftsbury Cross Country Center.
Oh, okay.
He was the first owner there, which has turned out very well for him. But Janet and Russell weren't married at the time, and Janet tells a story that they were at Bottom Notch, and she couldn't remember, but somebody asked her to marry them, and she said yes. And she wondered who it was. It was either Harry Burnham or Russell, and it turned out to be Russell. Now, I don't know if that's apocryphal or not, but
What a story. Wow.
did you ever meet Harry Burnham?
No. No.
Complicated person.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's not in any way related to Charlie Burnham. That's a totally different, yeah.
What did I call it?
Harry Burnham?
Harry.
Yeah.
No, they're not at all. Harry has it's protected by Stowe Land Trust now, his property over in the Hollow. He was a Bostonian with a great Boston accent, very English, very articulated, and he didn't approve of all of us people who wasted our time skiing all the time. He thought it was very frivolous. I think he taught at Stowe Prep for a while. Stowe Prep is another subject too. But so we were at a group once. We were at the Macquaries. Chris and Lily. Now, you don't know that? Chris, Lily's dead, but Chris is still alive. He's a retired psychiatrist. We were at the Macquaries, and someone took a picture of Harry and a couple of other people standing there, and then they painted in a pair of skis over his shoulder and published it in the story for it. Yeah, it was always kind of older people doing things they should have gotten out of their system years ago, but because we were all in our 30s then or so forth.
Well, that's what's so funny is it's hard to imagine that kind of, and what I've heard about from other people and what you describe, it seems like you should have all been in your early 20s,
Yes.
just like an absolute, kind of an ongoing party, really.
It was.
Yeah. And you're just very socially oriented. And yeah. You're one of the few people, actually, I would say you're the only person I know who really crossed between so many different groups. You know, you really seem to, your social circle is very wide.
I hope so. But I felt that Stowe at the time was a very cohesive place. Mm. People got along with everybody, the locals and the ski bums and the lodge owners. Everybody pretty much got along together. And there didn't seem any obvious social, not a good word, but social barriers. Mm-hmm. Now, you wouldn't see the guys who worked at the lifts at parties, but still, they were equals, and they were treated like that, and people were fond of each other and knew each other. Mm-hmm. Most of those guys are gone now, who worked the lifts.